Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my nose, sure. And I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
Nope, I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget Live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill down here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. Hope you a bunch of low-lifers are doing well out there. And this is the podcast for Monday, May the 23rd, 2022. And we're almost there. It's almost Memorial Day, the official kickoff of summer, I think. That's when all those crazy boaters get out there. I say it every year. That's when the guy's out there and he's got his kill switch going. It ain't plugged in, you know. Every single time. You see the guy, you see four people floating a pontoon off the trailer, two on each side. Here, come on back. They ease it on back. We're there, y'all. We're there. It's jet skiers running over you out there, just people getting rowdy, having a good time. They get the boat out for that first weekend of the year. Sometimes it's the only weekend they go out. God bless them. There's going to be a lot of them paddling this time, though, because I saw gas is like $4.30. So, phew, that's gonna sting a little bit. But good to be back in the bar and grill. I've been to the North Country. I've been New York City, baby. Went to NYC with Triple Threat and Harper. This is all Harper has ever wanted in life, is to go to New York City. So she graduated college. I've talked about that on here multiple times, but she graduated. So we loaded her up, got on an airplane on Thursday, and we flew to New York City. New York City. And I know so many of y'all have slid up on my stories on Instagram and like, you crazy, you're out of your mind. Had an absolute just fantastic time, man. I really did. I'm not a big city guy. I've been to many, you know, with just travels in life, and I've been fortunate to go to a lot of them. Hell, I've even been across the pond to Amsterdam. I've been to a lot of cool places. But, you know, 2-3 nights is normally my deal. And I will say it is probably my favorite big city I've ever been to. Now, we were just in Manhattan there, Midtown, and walking around doing the tourist stuff, man. But it was so fun. And it made me so proud being able to do that, you know. And Harper was, we surprised her with this trip. She was super pumped about it. And, you know, never really had time up there. Like, I felt unsafe, or, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions, I think. But I mean, it's crazy. If you don't like crowds and you don't like busy, you don't like, you know, traffic and, you know, to go 4 miles, take you all damn day. It's wild, man. But, you know, the only thing I didn't like was Times Square. It's crap. I didn't like that at night, especially. It's nuts. I actually posted that on Instagram. People were like, holy crap. It was just wild. But there are lots of them, man. Central Park's great. I saw people fishing in Central Park, bass fishing. Very cool. So it's a neat, neat city. It's a neat city. And we got to go see Jimmy Fallon. I got tickets. You had to apply for tickets and tell why you thought you should get them because they're free. They don't charge you for tickets. Obviously, that's what free means. And I put in about a month ago, and last week I got an email, hey, man, you got Jimmy Fallon tickets. So it was probably worded a little different than that. Not, hey, man, you got Jimmy Fallon tickets. But we got to go NBC Studios, see it all go down. And for me, you know, y'all know, obviously, I like production stuff. That's the world I live in part of the time. And it's very cool to see that type production and to see somebody like Jimmy who is a pro. Like, it's crazy. They were cutting promos in front of us and stuff. Dude, he's just a one-taker. It's wild to see. Got to see the Roots, Questlove and the Roots. It was very cool. We were like 10 feet away from them. And Jimmy came up in the crowd and asked questions. It was very, very, very cool experience. Very cool experience to get to do that there at Rockefeller Center. And that was our first day we got to do that. And very proud that I got to, man. But went to a Broadway show, went to see Wicked. And that was a good time, too. It was a little long for Dad here, but it was a good time, man. I would suggest if you ever get to go, if you haven't been, do that, man. Take your wife to a nice dinner and a Broadway show. Step out of your comfort zone. I think that's what I kept thinking all week. Like, it's good to see how other folks live, and it's good to see. I think it just, I don't know, man, it helps you appreciate so many things in life. I really do believe that. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I got to spend a few days up there. Got to see the 9/11 memorial, and we went yesterday. And by the way, I just got back like 30 minutes ago, and I'm fixing to leave again, going to MPFL this week. So lots and lots going on as always in the traveling circus life, but that is mine, and I love every second of it. But went to down to Ground Zero. And man, I'll be honest, short of, and this is honest, short of going to my own mother's grave, I've never had anything just immediately overwhelm me like that. And it's just, it's heavy. It is heavy. It is heavy. And I don't think many people could walk through there and not get that. And there are fountains. If you've never been, there are fountains built where the two trade centers stood, and they're beautiful, and they go down into where the foundations of those buildings were, and they have all the names of the folks that lost their life that day, and just standing there and just on that space where that day in our history of this country happened, and man, just so many things you think about that day while you're standing there, but just that could happen, that was a reality, that happened in a city like that, one of the biggest, strongest cities in the country, and just right there with people that were just going to work, man. They're just going to work. And it got me. It got me. We hung around there for about 20 minutes, and all three of us were like, all right, you know, this is heavy. This is hard. So I would suggest, though, if you ever go, do that. I think every American should have to, really. Like, I think you should have to see that because it's, man, it wasn't easy. It was not easy. I got to see there's a Korean War memorial down on the Hudson River close to where the Statue of Liberty's at. And my grandfather, my daddy Richard, fought in the Korean War. It's very cool. We did a lot of things, roamed around, spent too much money. You can't turn Harper loose on Fifth Avenue with a debit card and expect anything less. But we had a very good time. So a lot of y'all reached out about it, giving me a hard time and giving me suggestions on where to go. And we did a lot of that. So thank you very much. And I would like to report right here. Do I have a good... I would like to report we do not have monkeypox because that's a new thing. That's a new thing, monkeypox. You turn on the news, monkeypox. Got that monkeypox. Monkeypox everywhere, man, everywhere. especially New York City news. But then I heard a guy say, like, hey, man, don't worry about it. It's not that contagious. And then on the news, it was like a guy from CDC, hey, not everybody has to worry about it. And then I saw where the president said, everybody gets scared as hell. Monkeypox is going to get us all. And maybe it will. I don't know. I can't handle another thing like this, man. We just got this COVID stuff kind of under control. And it seems to be, I got to fly without a mask on forever. Got to see people's beautiful smiling faces. Now I got to worry about damn monkeypox. What is a monkeypox? What is happening right now? In today's news, Luke Duncan has monkeypox. I feel like that is something you get like playing a Nintendo game. You have died of monkeypox. Donkey Kong Country. I don't know what the hell is going on. I just feel like we made it safely out of NYC without monkeypox, so we did not bring monkeypox back to the South. It starts popping up. Do not call the Duncans. Moving on. Holy crap. Monkeypox. I just want to keep saying that. Monkeypox. No, wrong button. Wrong button. That's not the monkeypox. Here's the button. Monkeypox. Hang on one more time. What? Heck, man. Yeah, and we were in the airport today coming home, and it's all kind of just, you know, the TVs everywhere, and just monkeypox. So I don't know, man. Got $5 gallon gas and monkeypox. It's going to be a hell of a summer, folks. Buckle up, you bunch of low-lifers. All right, I'm going to get these sponsors in here. Thank them very much for making this all possible here at Low Budget Live. First and foremost, StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth in your weed eater and your chainsaw and your lawnmower. The more... Most importantly, in your bass boat, you do not want ethanol getting in that outboard engine. It ruins your day for sure. Little dab will do you. They sell this basically everywhere. I doubt if you walk into a Tractor Supply and say, Luke Duncan told me to get this, they're going to know who I am, but you can try it. You can try it. Shake it in their face. StarTron enzyme fuel treatment. This bottle right here will treat 256 gallons. You have no excuse to let ethanol ruin the works and ruin your day. Start trying kicking ethanol in the teeth and bringing you Low Budget Live for a long time now. Pro Guide batteries. I got a dang garage full of them. Waiting on that new Express to get here. But Pro Guide lithiums, really loving those, man. I've stood on them. And can't kill them. I really like how fast they charge back. I like how light they are. Helps me get up in them super shallows. Using the AGM cranking battery, a 31 series there. You can try them for yourself. So many of y'all are tagging me in those purchases you're making using code LBL10 over at ProGuideBatteries.com. Tell them you're a low lifer. Tell them we sent you. And I appreciate each and every one of you. And I appreciate ProGuide. BaitWorks.com. New to the show this year. Near and dear to my heart already. We're working on big things, really cool things, very low-lifer specific things. I will throw that out there, so stay tuned. Probably going to make that announcement next week, hopefully, about something big we are working on and that I'm very proud to be a part of. It's really cool at BaitWorks. But BaitWorks, if they ain't got it, they got it on the way. Trust me, they're making a huge strides in the online tackle game. I've seen their operation firsthand. It is impressive. If you are listening to this and you have ordered from them, you get it completely. They get it to you in a very, very, like, don't hit order unless you want it. That's what I say all the time. If you're trying to hide something from your wife and she's out of town, like, I mean, just, it might show up before she leaves. Like, if she's going out of town, it might show up. Like, you hit order and then somebody knocks on your door immediately. BaitWorks, right there. That's how quick they are. You can use code Duncan-10 to let them know you're a low lifer. Bait-works.com. They got everything. We're headed into that deep cranking season, and they got every freaking big plug you can imagine on that website right now. You're going to want to get them right now if you're in a part of the country where you like to wind a big crankbait. They got them. I've seen them for myself. Seen it up there in Springfield, Missouri. Baitworks.com. Last but not least, hang the banner right here. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. I got to go out there last week. Drop off the 2021 Express X21. 2021. I can't remember what model it is. 22. I don't know. whatever. It's an X21 with C-Deck Yamaha power poles, but I got to drop it off for a little TLC, and it is for sale. We are selling that bad boy. I got to lay hands on the new battleship, and it is exciting. It's exciting times. It's a stressful time changing boats because I really, really love my boat. I've got it where I want it, but we're fixing to make a little change, and I'm going to share all that with you guys very soon, walkthrough videos and all that. But Express Boats, building excitement since 1966, the official boat of the Traveling Circus and Low Budget Life. It's very cool for me to say. And the official boat of Billy Lowen, who made the top 10 down there at Lake Fork. So congrats to Mr. Bill Lowen, Dollar Bill, making the cut down there, doing it to it in that Express aluminum boat. Christy called him up down there as well. I think Summerall might have missed the cut, but step up your game, Caleb. No, I'm just kidding. Caleb smashes all the time. Lake Fork, moving on to Lake Fork. Very cool event. I always love that event. Fork is one of those places that I really, you know, from like BPT earlier this year to this tournament, it lives up to the hype. It lives up to the hype. And I think a lot of that has to do with it. It is catch and release. With the huge size limit and the slot limit and all that, like it's very well managed. It's somewhere that every single time you have an event there, it lives up to the hype from a fan perspective, from the angler perspective. You know, I know it's always a case of the haves and have nots. Took about an average 17 pounds a day to make the cut, but Jesus, the first day is like however many bags over 20. You got a Cliff Prince with a 32 pound bag, of course, Lee Livesey. 31 pounds. Lee ended up taking it home. Congrats to Lee. Just crazy. It's crazy. He's dialed up, man. He is dialed up on that pond. He has been for a long time, and it's just if I'm the other elite guys, I'm like, hey, timeout, Bass. Can we not go here next year again? Just give him a trophy because it's wild. Of course, Brandon Polinick, G-Main, my dude, Gerald Swindle, Shane LaHue, Josh Strasser. A lot of guys gave him a hard time, but just not hard enough because he was just always just – ahead of him, man, just ahead of him. And Cliff Prince never could get back on that deal. He had the first day to kind of give Lee a run for his money. But proud old buddy G, he got his century belt. BP Polinick, he got his first century belt as well, catching over 100 pounds of bass. Livesey, he got his second one in a row, which is mind-blowing at this event, 2 years in a row. And then little buddy Shane LaHue, little Shaney. Shaney got him one as well. Shane busted their freaking heads in down there at Lake Fork, and I saw Shane fishing around all this timber, and it reminded me of a story. I probably told it on here before, but I drew Shane as a co-angler in the Forest Wood Cup. I was a co-angler. Shane was fishing for $500,000. Actually, the one that BK Brad Knight won, and we started on some schooling fish, and I caught one real quick. It was a keeper, and then I just wanted to get out of his way. Like, I just didn't want to zero because we had to weigh in an arena. And they told us we had to walk across stage regardless. So that was a fear of mine because fishing was brutal. I practiced with Strader for 3 days. I don't think I had a bite. And he didn't have me. And Strader didn't have many. He had a rough tournament there. And, man, we started on some schoolers. I got me a fish. I'm like, all right, Shane, I'm out of your way. So he goes running a brim bed pattern through all this standing timber in these pockets. And the water's down a little bit. And, dude, he's got her pegged. Trolling motor. He's got spare batteries in the boat, okay? It's the first time I'd ever seen anybody do that. Spare batteries where you could just swap one hook up to the other, roll on. And we're just flying down the – and I'm sitting like this, like legs crossed on the butt seat, not even casting, like eating a granola bar or something. Like, I'm not fishing because he's going 100, and I'm just watching him and hoping he catches him. He's fishing for $500,000. He center punched a tree as hard as anybody ever has, and I went ass over elbow, son. you could use a net. You still can an FLW, but MLFLW, big five. But, dude, his net was laying kind of like across the step there. I landed on the step with, like, the back of my head. I crushed the net. It was bent like this with my big butt landed on it. Completely, I mean, I was black and blue for a minute. But Shane comes running. He's like, bro, are you okay? I mean, I thought I was dead. He did too. I was okay. And we laughed for several hours. And he's like, remember when I almost killed you? And every time I see Shane, I give him crap about that. He's one of my favorite folks out there. Great, great angler. And he's going to get him one of them blue trophies before too off long. I'll assure you that. But I saw that today. I was watching Bass Live at the airport. I'm like, Shane and standing timber. But he did. He center punched a tree and sent your boy Didn't go in the water, thank God, but I did, man. I'll never forget how hard. And it was one of those, like, you know when you fall and you feel like one of those cartoon characters like Wile E. Coyote or whatever, and you're just, air's coming by, and you're trying to you're trying to pump the brakes, but there's nothing to grab. It was one of those situations where I just landed on my head and my back and my hips and just right in dip net. It was bad, man. It was bad. But congrats to all those guys out there. Great tournament. Very, very cool thing Bass did. Had Ray Scott's vest and tassels, the whole thing, the cowboy hat on stage, which is very cool. Tip of the hat, no pun intended, to Ray and all the anglers on the first day wore a cowboy hat. Very cool. They got to use the cowboy hats that they bought for the Fort Worth Classic again. I actually texted somebody, Mama Bass, like, y'all have to buy all new cowboy hats, or this is the same ones y'all use for the photo op when y'all are in Dallas. But very cool thing that they did to honor Ray at the event. And I just want to throw this out there. And this is no hate or shade on my part. Some people do not need to wear cowboy hats. And you lowlifers at home that are watching this on YouTube, and all you Spotify iTunes listeners are listening to a person or looking at a person that does not need to don a cowboy hat ever. I've played music for many years. Sometimes I go down that road. Hey, maybe this is a good idea. Maybe I need a cowboy hat in my life. Mm-mm. Nope. This is not a noggin that needs a cowboy hat. I'm a ball cap guy. No, sir. I'm not a cowboy. And I saw several of y'all on the pics and the galleries and the video and you post. Y'all don't need to be wearing a damn cowboy hat either. And I don't think you do. I don't think you do on a daily basis. And if that way you improved anything to us other than the shout out to Ray is that most of y'all don't need to be wearing cowboy hats. Joey Fuentes pulls one off. Joey C. all the time. Fishes in one all day. Cowboy Joey. I saw the naked cowboy down on Times Square. Dude in his underwear, cowboy. He pulled off a cowboy hat. Your boy can't pull one off. Can't pull one off. My bud Ryan Engelman plays for Turnpike Troubadours. He can wear a ball cap and old black cowboy hat on stage. He looks like a badass. I can't pull it off. Ryan Bingham, cowboy hat wear. Luke Duncan, not a cowboy. I'm not comparing myself to Ryan Bingham. Like to throw that out there. But I think so many people, because of Yellowstone, started wearing cowboy hats, though. They do. And I have strong cowboy hat opinions because I live close to Nashville. And like I just flew in there this afternoon. And dude, just everybody buys a cowboy hat when they go there. You shouldn't. Just because you're coming to the home of country music, don't buy you a cowboy hat. Don't buy you cowboy boots if you're not for real, okay? Thank you for stimulating the Davidson County economy that I have nothing to do with. But you should not purchase a cowboy hat just because you think it's a good idea. It's like this right here. Yeah, it's a little something like that. Oh, me, sorry. I have thought that all weekend, like every post. I'm like, man. I mean, and there's some boys that pull it off, you know. There's some boys that can pull one off. But I can't. Some ladies out there can pull them off, too. Now, I ain't hating on that. But I just, man, I'm not a cowboy hat person. I wish I was. I think they make you at least look like, from a distance, like you might whip somebody's ass. And then they're going to get up on my little scrawny self and understand that that's probably not going to happen. Oh, good event, though, out there in Texas. I wanted to say a quick congrats to Nick LeBron James. Nick LeBron winning Gunnersville. I recorded before that tournament had ended last week. Very cool to see him win. That dude is an absolute animal in the water. Nicest guy in the history of bass fishing, probably. But he's been due for a long time. Got an open win last year, now a tour win. Very cool. Will not be his last. The guy's super dialed. And it was cool. He's a shallow water guy. You know, he won the All-American fishing shallow down in Shreveport. He won Grand Lake fishing shallow. Now catches him out there on them Tennessee River ledges. And that Gunnersville tournament, seeing the weights from that got me so amped up because there's some of the best weights. I was talking to Alex Davis, some of the best Tennessee River weights we've seen in a long, long time consistently through the field. And it was encouraging. I said on this very podcast, Gunnersville, overrated. It's not like Lakeport. Doesn't stand up to the pressure. They have so many different tournaments during the week. And, of course, it doesn't help that you can bring them all in, you know, every five nights a week, tournaments bringing in bigs and bigs and bigs. And a lot of those fish don't make it, man. I really don't think they do. And those little wildcatters and stuff. The same thing goes on at Pickwick. Same things happen at Kentucky Lake. But – Very encouraging. We had there was an Alabama Bass Trail on Wheeler this weekend too. The weights were fantastic. So I'm anxious to see what the Elite Boys do in a week, 2 weeks, whenever it is on Pickwick. I really hope it shines for them. It's been fishing kind of lately, but I'm excited to see what those weights look like down there on Pickwick. So Tennessee River, y'all know I'm a Tennessee River boy. Got to give some Tennessee River props up there. But very fun to see. And good to see those weights being what they are. Oh, man, I just got a text from a guest. Let's see. Let's see here. All right, so just going to do this. Just going to do this right now. So we got a guest today. Y'all know him. He's one of my favorite guests. He's probably I think he's been on here more times than anybody. He's fishing the MPFL this year along with the Big Five. He's one of my best friends in the world. But this week, our MPFL event is on Watts Bar, Tennessee. Going to be an incredible week. Going to be live coverage Thursday and Friday because we're bumping up against Memorial Day. So competition days are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We will be going live Thursday and Friday. I'm going to make a pit stop over at Watts Bar. Then I'm going to the airport and going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin on Wednesday to do some filming up there in the studio, be bringing you all the live action with Fat Cat Newton. And we got, I don't think it's been announced yet, Bradley Hallman on the water this week. But this guy right here been out there practicing all day and I'm bothering him. But we're going to talk to him. We got a couple stories we got to get out of him here. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the guy that's not going to answer the phone.
Hello?
BK. Brad Knight, ladies and gentlemen. Hang on a second, Brad. Hang on. Brad Knight. Yeah, you ain't got
sound. Should I start dancing?
Yeah, buddy. When that beat drops, BK, when that beat drops, I've been in NYC, dude. I might take up like a DJ career and stuff now. Screw country music.
Yeah, dude. I was kind of thinking I was going to start dancing or something. I thought we were back at Sam's wedding again.
Yeah, so, Sammy. Little Sammy's wedding. Well, I intro'd this. I forgot to say that you're a millionaire bass fisherman and all this other stuff, but this is one of my best buddies in the world, and he's the most – I think you hold the record for LBL guest appearances. I'm pretty sure you do. The first one started –
that may be the only record I'm going to hold in bass fishing. What else is there?
You got one of those Forcewood cups. They don't exist anymore. That's something they can't take away from you, RIP Forcewood cup.
Yeah,
Forcewood
I'm going to wait until it gets to be vintage or – or like antique-y or whatever you call it. What's the word? Shit, I'm going to sell it on eBay. Get some interesting money. There's God knows what it'll be by the time that happens. They get done with this $5,000 licks at a time. Damn, and gas prices. I'm going to have a damn metal cup on the side of the road at Watts Bar after the tournament's over. Like the people that...
Y'all got any more of them cups?
Yeah. Yeah, the volunteer fire department where I'm at, they stay at the 4-lane. And hold a rubber boot out for money, you know. So you pull up, you give them a couple of bucks. Shit, that's going to be me with my tackle box. I'm going to have an empty Plano at the red light. Gas money.
Dude, I landed back down here in the Southland this afternoon, and I saw gas is like $4.30 in Middle Tennessee. What is it over there at Watts Bar?
Dude, I don't even know. I don't even look.
You just swipe.
I just stick my card in there and hope to God it works. And if it gives me the all go, I'm putting gas in beside it. My boat or diesel in my truck. It's so ugly right now, I don't even know.
It is ugly, dude. And now, I don't know if you heard this, I got damn monkeypox. There's damn monkeypox coming, Brad. They's talking about monkeypox everywhere in New York, and you're the only man I know that might can save us from monkeypox.
Well, I mean, we get to shoot something?
Yes, I think we might. I think we are waging war on monkeys, I think.
I'm not afraid to kill a couple of them. just putting that out there. You know, if the government, maybe the government should hire me up.
It would be one of those things. Our government, you know what they would do, though? They'd be like, all right, you can kill monkeys, but you can't hunt them over bananas, and then we're all screwed, because how are you going to call in a monkey? They're smarter than we are.
I'll figure something out.
I love it. So you spent a day on the water today.
I did,
First day of practice.
Got home. That's not a bad thing, back in your boat, your garage after a day of practice.
Getting to stay at the house for this one. Of course, you fished – you've only got to fish one MPFL because we had a conflict on Pickwick with our Hartwell event, so you missed that one, which was a fun one, but Pickwick was good for you too. You about made the dang slipped up and slipped in that top 10 down there.
Yep.
Had a I won't even say mediocre, but had a not Brad Knight first day, and then you came back and smashed on them the last 2 days.
Yeah, I kind of figured it out a little bit better as the tournament went. I didn't have a great practice, but I kind of committed and knew how I wanted to fish. I just didn't quite yet know the location to get it done at.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of a little deal or a little tip for just anybody out bass fishing, because everybody wants to have like a practice and a game plan, and it has to go all according to plan. And these days and times, you just have a general area. And I mean, in a 2-day practice that we get on the pro circuit, you don't have time to dial anything in. You just basically you've got an area and you're going to guess, and you hope that you guess right. And then your tournament sort of evolves from that point forward. Right. And you just kind of keep putting the pieces together. And that was one that I just kind of figured out. I got really fortunate and got a couple of decent key bites. But the shad started spawning. The bass were kind of finishing up. My time of the year on the Tennessee River is the way I like to fish, shallow water deal. And I read the water well. And, if I could have just got one more cull, could have gotten the top 10, I really thought that I could have had a chance at that one. But it is what it is. I think we finished 15th. And
yeah, man. It was great.
On to the next one.
Great event. Yeah, and you just came off a G-ville. You made a big charge there on day two and just got some good points, but just barely missed out on getting money there. And now over here, another Tennessee River lake, but this one is a little closer to home.
Yeah, I've spent a considerable amount of time on Watts Bar. Obviously, it's my home lake. It's where I grew up bass fishing, where I learned to fish. I was a kid walking the bank with a cane pole to, where we're at now. The odd twist about me and Watts Bar is kind of this. Today I got to thinking about it. I think it's been probably close to 10 years since I've put any kind of good, what I consider hard tournament style practice or work in.
Wow.
I've had media days there. I've taken a buddy fishing an evening here or there. But you know how it is, man. The season rolls, we're gone. You're at Pickwick. You're at Gunnersville. Mm-hmm. You're at Okeechobee.
Prime times most of the time too, yeah. Right? Like when the fishing's the best, we're somewhere else.
Correct. And I'm just going to be honest here. When it gets to be, springtime, if I get home for 2 weeks, I'm not going, like when it's April the 10th, going, man, I'm going to go down to Watts Bar and really crack them on a spinnerbait today. No, I'm going turkey hunting.
That's right. We're going to shoot some.
I don't spend time fishing around the house. Fishing's my job. I love what I do. But, I'm not a fishing junkie like a lot of these guys are. I mean, I just don't do a lot unless I have to be there at a tournament. And this is a perfect example where this is going to hurt me.
Interesting.
I have a position to where you have a major, potentially to have a pretty major, home field advantage in the unique mm-hmm. aspect that Watts Bar's never had a pro tournament there before.
That's what I was going to say. This is the first of its kind. Right. BPT's coming
no
later.
No info out there. Yeah. There's no this area of the lakes where you need to be. That the book's been written on Chickamauga now. Like if you're a rookie fishing a tournament on Chickamauga, you know what baits to throw, where to throw mm-hmm. them at, what weight you need. The whole nine yards, everything about the lake, what they, one end to the other. And that's just not out there on Watts Bar. So that's kind of the unique factor there, or the X factor. But also I think that's going to help a lot of guys. The lake's fishing a little bit off or different this year. And kind of history isn't one of those things that can, it's going to be a double-edged sword. It's going to help you in certain instances, but I also feel like it can hurt you really bad in this one too. Because where you got 3 in the live well and it's 11:30 and you're trying to run to 10 miles down the lake to your other deep hole or wherever you're going to, how do you pass up 50 that you've caught 20 pounds on?
That's right.
I caught a 5-pounder off of that dock. I've caught 20 pounds off of that hole before. I mean, it's just hard not to pull over and fish those places, even though they don't line up with what you're doing. And that's the part of a home lake that can be kind of tough. But again, I kind of got off track there, but my point was, by not coming home and putting a lot of time in fishing, I don't really have any kind of, it's just another tournament for me, man. It's been almost a decade since I've really practiced or spent much time here. So, yeah, I know some of the historical areas and, and we're going to put our head down and cast at them. I don't feel like this one's like teed up for any kind of, ain't going to be Elite Livesay Lake Fork tournament. We'll go ahead and say that.
I said before I called you, I was talking about that tournament and, if I was all the other guys on Leap Field, I'd just be like, can we just stop going there? obviously Walters won, 3 years ago when they had it there, but man, Lee's been dominant the last 2 years there. I mean, and look, Paulinen gave him a run for his money, but still came up, you know, several pounds short. Swindle caught over 100. Shane LaHue. I mean, those are freaking great damn tournaments anywhere else you look at it. But God, he just, that 31-pound bag was the difference maker.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Those tend to be, though, those 31-pound bags. Today, riding around out there, though, man, is it exciting getting to fish a big event at home like that on that home lake? Because I know you fished a ton of big events on Chickamauga, but was it cool riding around and being like, oh, I did catch a 5-pounder off that dock one time. I did this. I did that. That was probably special, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of pretty cool to put back in. And, you know, I went by a place like I was like, man, I won my first Thursday Night Wildcat off that bank right there.
Nah, that's cool.
It takes you down memory lane more kind of, I guess, you know, you try not to let your mind wander off the task at hand, but yeah, it can be almost sentimental. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of full circle for sure.
type of feeling. But I tell you, one of the most surreal moments in my career was I think in 2015. That was the last time I fished. So I said it's been 10 years. It's been, what, 8? But 7, 8, whatever. Coming through, I walked through the Watts Bar summertime, and that tournament, they were out as good as I've ever seen them on Watts. Like, it was as good as it could be, and I knew I was going to have a chance to win that tournament.
Chickamauga and FLW, that was the year you won the cup.
That's
same
correct.
Year. Yep.
So, like, the first day you won, go up there and you hit the lock, and everybody – that was when Chickamauga's heyday, and everybody's telling you the whole time how dumb you are for going to Watts Bar, and I'm just, yeah, you're probably right. Although I'm thinking, yeah, we're going to see who's dumb. But I ended up being dumb, just for the record. It was me. Usually it is. But, man,
it's a story mine in your life.
And I idle out, yeah. And I knew I was the only guy on a Thursday on Watts Bar, and they're like on 30 places piled on there. And I knew that I could leave one place and go to the next and go to the next and go to the next, and there wasn't going to be nobody out there. I mean, it was kind of like having an FLW Tour tournament on your home water, and you're the only dude on the lake. And that was kind of like that. So I've kind of had that feeling, I guess.
Yeah, in recent years.
Been having that sort of stuff. Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty – one of the most cool things that ever happened to me on Watts Bar, I guess.
Well, I won't get too detailed because this is going to come out on Monday, and I don't need all the competition during the second day of practice riding around listening to BK's
We can talk about whatever you want.
Lake report. But, I mean, is this going to be one of those we've seen – I mean, just looking at Fork out in Texas, I mean, there were still guys catching big bags up shallow. Yes, it was one, quote, offshore, but those fish weren't necessarily that deep with the low water. We saw it at Gunnersville. We saw a lot of shallow brim bedding going on. Of course, Nick ended up winning it out deep. Same thing down at Pickwick. We saw. So will this kind of be that? Are we getting towards that typical Tennessee River ledge deal, or is this going to be a mixed bag? Top 10 will be doing a bunch of different stuff.
I think it's going to be doing different things. I really do. I think it's going to be similar to most Tennessee River tournaments in May. You can pick your poison, but it's going to be one off the bank deep.
Okay.
100%. Now, the X factor is weather. If we have super high winds and thunderstorms all day long, then that might change things up a little bit. Where you might have to go shallow a little bit here or there or mix things up. But it's going to be dominated off the bank.
Nice.
Just is. Local turn, it's just a little bit different. Weights have been really low for typical Watts Bar stuff. But what's happening right now is there's just a lot of movement. Like, there's day-to-day.
A lot of transition stuff, yeah.
A lot of movement. Yeah, I mean, they're just moving. So a lot of guys are really going to get burned on this deal in practice where they're on stuff, and the next day it's just ghost town. Because you just really need to know where they're going. And that's what I'm kind of banking on. It's going to be a straight up. I mean, I don't care to tell anybody. It's just a gamble tournament to me. I'm going to fish where they're going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't there yet. They're on a couple of them, but not good. But you know, they need to get there. And it can. I've literally had this happen. I don't know how many times where, you know, you don't catch anything, and then you come back. Maybe in the evening time you catch one. You come back the next day, you catch three. You know, by the afternoon you catch five, and then the next day you catch 30.
That's right. They progressively just get there.
Yeah, and it's the same exact thing that happens when they go shallow to spawn, right?
Yep.
The guy goes out of pocket, he catches two little ones, and a 3-pounder, and he goes back in there in the tournament and catches 19 pounds because they flooded in there and he drilled them.
No doubt.
He was fishing where they came. And that's what this tournament's going to be a lot of like, I think. It's you know, guys that are going to start the tournament and don't have any idea that they're on them, and they're going to catch them really good. But, again, my point was weights have been really low, but I think it's just
when you say low, you're talking, you text me today like 12 pounds won a freaking big tournament with some local hammers in it.
Yeah, so there was two events on Watts Bar yesterday. One was a local club event, had, you know, almost 40 boats in it, and all those guys are Watts Bar, they fish it five times a week. And it took 1190 in a five bass limit. And then they had an ABA 2-day tournament, 2 days of an ABA tournament. It took 12 pounds to win yesterday, and then 13 to win today.
Jeez.
So it's
not exactly barn burner
from Stelly.
Not exactly so, barn burner stuff. Just
but
yet.
I don't think those are weights that you're going to be able to count on for like our tournament.
No,
like you're not going to see.
So.
You're not going to see any kind of deal where 12 pounds a day wins Irving. I mean, you're going to have 18 a day. You're going to have 12 a day to get paid. You know, one of those deals. So
In my opinion, with this crew, I think that's going to be the case. So. Yeah. Not to cut you off, but I mean, I'm a radio host, podcast host, just like you now. And I had that in my notes. The last time I had you on, you were just starting the radio show, and I saw you had Strader on, and you had Dadgum David Allen, the Shuttlecock King.
Yes, sir.
So this was probably a 2-hour episode because Dave talks more than I talk. But how's that going for you? You've reached out to me, but tell the folks where they can find it, and so they can go listen to. On WECO, baby, WECO, the Brad Knight. I mean, it's very cool. You're doing a good job with it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so we're about 6 months in almost, believe it or not. It's flown by. I still don't really have any idea what I'm doing. But it's really been it's been fun and a lot more challenging than I anticipated. And I didn't think it was going to be easy. But the struggle part is, and you know, it's easy whenever you've got the week off and you've got 5 days to be able to show up. It's hard when you're doing it on the off day of a tournament in Alabama or Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So it's balancing a lot of that kind of stuff and making sure you got, you know, service to be able to upload a show and send it back for editing. And it's been, you know, challenges that we're working through, but it's been fun, man. I've really enjoyed it. I hope to get a lot better at it because I mean, I have a hard time listening, you know, to critique yourself, but it's been fun, and I feel like it's been really educational and had a lot of really good content and had some great guests. We've had everything from, you know, professional bass anglers to local guys that won their first
I love that part.
Local kids that went on and killed his first turkey to my content guy, Weston Bryant, who gets paid by some of the biggest outdoor names in the industry, Benelli, Nomad, so on and so forth, to go all over the country and film turkey hunts.
Very cool.
I had him on telling some of his stories. I mean, just, man, it's really cool. But it's all based on local people in East Tennessee is what it's all about. It's called Inside the Outdoors. I own a family-owned radio station. We're 54 years in business now, my dad and my brother and I. And it airs on Thursdays at 6 Eastern Standard Time on our local FM 101.3, or you can stream it online at WCOradio.com. And we also have a smartphone app that you can just hit a button.
Yeah, they do. And I got it, baby. I got the app,
yeah, so,
son.
Yeah, you're a NASCAR fan or Tennessee sports fan. We carry a lot of that stuff on there. We're Inside the Outdoors Thursdays at 6. But you can also go back to the website. We archive all of the shows. So kind of a radio show that turns into a podcast, so to speak.
Very cool.
With all the library stuff. Yeah, so anybody gets bored, pretty cool show on there. It's got a lot of really good content on there, man. I've had some just really good guests that have – really broke it down and spilled their beans and had some really cool stuff. So I learned a lot and just getting to ask things, you know, I hear people answer and I'm like, man, I didn't know that stuff. But I've learned a tremendous amount just being able to do it myself.
That's awesome, man. And BK doesn't half-ass anything. So he bought he got some good equipment right out of the jump. He bought what I wish I had.
Like right out of the jump. I
put you on the goods. I'm like,
hey, notepad and pen. I said, tell me what to buy, but I don't know what I'm doing.
It's awesome, man.
Makes me look like I know what I'm doing.
It sounds good, and it's I'm proud of you. It's really cool to see. And so y'all go listen to that. So what? One last quick story, and I'm going to let you go see Beck and Tinsley since you're at the house. This has to do with the house, Brad. You're under attack in East Tennessee.
You live in the mountains, you just never know what's going to happen.
So, Brad has, the neighborhood has a bear problem. And they have torn down, this bear has torn down Brad's screened-in porch. Tried. He tried to get
screen damage.
What was he trying? Was he just trying to get in to get garbage? What was he trying to get?
Well, we had the garbage can there, yeah. So,
but you got your hot tub right there too. Got the hot tub right. Was he trying to get? I mean, that's what I think he might have been trying to get into.
He might have been trying to take a dip. What's going on there? He's trying to cannonball in there.
Trying to watch the damn Discovery Channel on your flat screen.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. So now we got a. Like this 400-pound black bear that's
begging,
tearing everybody's. Yeah, we got him on video. I mean, he's a big one. So we've got him. He's tearing our garbage cans up, and we're trying. We're having to learn how to inhabit with bears now. We've always had them, but now they're just the numbers are up so high. There's a lot more human interaction in the neighborhoods and stuff. But
that's crazy.
You know, I'm just gonna go ahead and day. I mean, it's for the. I want to be put on record here or anything. I'm guessing everybody here can do some math on 2 + 2 = 4 on what's going to happen to Mr. Black Bear next time he shows up and tears my shit up. He's going to be with Jesus is where he's going to be. I'll have his ass a rug before the sun sets next time I see him. Only in bear season when it's allowed.
Of course, only
appropriate weapons.
Yes.
Followed by all legal methods and and whatever else we need to say to make sure that they can't use that against us.
I would like for TWRA to understand that I am just the host of this show and that I only sport fair and legal chase of animals.
Yeah, yeah.
But if a bear were to get shot eating a Hostess honey bun.
If that summits has got an iced up, wide-eyed honey bun hanging out of his mouth, it did not come from the 27 Quick Stop in town. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now.
Oh, my gosh, man. So I don't think you're going to be able to focus on the tournament for this bear. I'm calling it right here. I think you're going to have a good event. I don't think you're going to have a great event because you're going to have this bear on your
brain. Hey, every time we got a taco lab, his name's Ranger, and kind of in the evening, I kind of got that wish factor. You know, I got the hope versus the wish, and I kind of got the wish factor. And every time that dude moves or he'll jerk his head up and bark into the darkness outside,
you're like, here we go.
Game time, baby. You're like, thermal up.
Daddy's getting tagged in.
Oh, dude, it's like SEAL Team 6 around here. I mean, I'm ready to, you know, sign me up, dude. I'm ready to get it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Don't be around here.
Ladies and gentlemen, no Brad Knight. That's all I got to say. This is Brad Knight right there. That's amazing.
It's always, it's never ending, man. You know, from one day, maybe a rattlesnake trying to get in the door.
I was going
to
say.
Whatever. Dude, it's always something. It's never dull moments here. So I love it.
Never, ever, ever a dull moment, BK. I love it. And what? One more quick question for you, and I'm gonna let you go on this one. It just popped in my head. What's your stance on a cowboy hat? Do you look good in a cowboy hat or not? Can you pull off a cowboy hat?
I'm going on record and say I don't know that I've ever even put a cowboy hat on in my entire
life. There we go. Okay.
I'm a redneck guy. I don't know rednecks do cowboys.
No, we're not cowboys.
I don't know. I'm kind of more just a regular ball cap kind of guy.
Same. I was talking about.
I'm not hating on.
Neither am I. I just said, you know, some people can't pull them off.
Yeah.
I'm
like
one
Jim
of them.
Shockey, he rocks it pretty. Like, he doesn't look good in a Phoenix boat hat. That dude's going to scale a mountain to kill a doll sheep in a freaking black leather cowboy hat. Like he's ready to jump on a bull ride his ass off the side
exactly
of the mountain.
Right. And ain't nobody questioning him on it. He's got that mullet, the locks flowing.
Yeah. I seen some dudes on that Bassmaster deal that everybody was wearing a hat. A couple of them guys should have probably looked in the mirror before they walked up on stage. That's going to be some photos they were going to wish they could have back. Not everybody can rock the cowboy hat.
Not everybody can pull it off. I was glad they did it to honor Ray. I thought it was a cool gesture, but I said, hey, and speaking from, I'm not throwing shade because I'm one of them that can't wear it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm putting some cowboy boots on now, but that's
I'm a boot wearer, but I can't pull off the damn hat.
Oh, I feel like you got to rock the belt buckle to go along with the hat. It's got to be both.
Yeah, I can't do that either.
But like, you know, some guys like in our industry do it, and it just, you know, most people just laugh behind their back because they're like idiots, whatever. But you know, I get it. You want to be individual, do your thing.
You want to be Yellowstone? Go ahead.
I guess, man. You know, at least if you're going to do it, be hard. You can't do it, be like a clown about it.
You got to be ripped.
Yeah. You got to be ripped. I'm with that.
Got to be ripped. All right, buddy. 100%. I want you to go smash this week. I'm going to see you. I'm going to be over there for about a day and a half before I go to the studio up in Wisconsin and go be a cheesehead for the week. But I'm going to come see you, and good luck this week.
All right, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
thank you for coming on. Brad
Anytime.
Knight, everybody. Brad Knight, the one and the only Brad Knight. I'm so glad he's on my side. I'm so glad that, like, I've had, obviously, y'all keep up with the relationships, the ebb and flow in this industry. There's one person that I'm so glad I met through fishing that will always, just always by my side. That is my dude, and that's Brad Knight. Lord, have mercy. God bless Brad Knight. All right, I'm going to take y'all out with some Biloxi Blues. This was fun. A lot of laughs. I hope y'all enjoyed it as much as I did. Be sure to tune in NPFL this week. TNPFL.com, Thursday and Friday. Me and the Big Cat going to be running our mouth live. You heard Brad. I think they're going to catch them really good on Watts Bar. It's the first time a professional event has been held there. We've got BPT coming up a couple weeks after us on Watts Bar, so you can kind of get a, you know, if you're going to watch BPT, you can kind of get a little teaser of what's going to happen. Well, watch the guys, support the MPFL, man. We really appreciate y'all, and I'm going to see y'all next week. Be sure to hug your mama. Take you out with some Biloxi Blues. We'll see y'all next time. From
Jacksontown to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos, speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.